Another prayer request. Should have mentioned it a while ago, but my wife's going to have her other eye fixed. Cataract surgery in the morning, about 6:30. Probably in the morning. We're supposed to be there at 6:15 in Roswell, so we ask you to pray for that. And she's already had one completed, and it's doing well. She can see better than me now. So we look forward to getting that done. We'll be back tomorrow afternoon. Ask everybody to pray for us. In Exodus chapter number 25, we're going to take tonight the golden candlestick. The golden candlestick. Let's pray. Then we will read the scriptures and say some things about it. Father, we ask your blessing upon our time here together, and we pray the Spirit of God would please help us to understand, Lord. We are totally, God, we're lost without you, and we pray that you'd please give us understanding of your holy words. Help us to be a blessing to one another, and please help me, I pray, lead us and guide us into all truth, and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's read chapter 25. We're going to begin reading verse number 31 down to the end of the chapter. Then there's a couple of other places that I want you to turn to. Exodus 25 and verse number 31. And thou shalt make a candlestick of pure gold. Of beaten work shall the candlestick be made. His shaft and his branches, his bowls, his knops, and his flowers shall be of the same. And 6 branches shall come out of the sides of it, 3 branches of the candlestick out of the one side, and 3 branches of the candlestick out of the other side, 3 bowls made like unto almonds with the knop. I think when you read the word knop there, we might say a knob. It's a knob of some sort, with a knop and a flower in one branch, and 3 bowls made like almonds in the other branch with a knop and a flower. These are decorations on the candlestick with a flower. So in the 6 branches that come out of the candlestick, and in the candlestick shall be 4 bowls made like unto almonds with their knops and their flowers. There shall be a knop under 2 branches of the same, and a knop under 2 branches of the same, and a knop under 2 branches of the same, according to the 6 branches that proceed out of the candlestick. Their knops and their branches shall be of the same. All it shall be one beaten work of pure gold. And thou shalt make the 7 lamps thereof, and they shall light the lamps thereof, that they may give light over against it. And the tongs thereof and the snuff dishes thereof shall be of pure gold. And of a talent of pure gold, I'm in verse number 39, of a talent of pure gold shall he make it with all these vessels. And look that thou make them after their pattern, which was showed thee in the mount. Take your Bibles and let's turn a little bit over to the right to chapter number 40 and verse number 24. Chapter 40 of Exodus and verse number 24. Exodus chapter 40 and verse number 24. And he put the candlestick in the tent of the congregation. Now see, back over in chapter 25 is where he's giving them instructions on what to do. Over here later on, they're actually doing what he said. So they have it made here. Remember I told you, we looked at a scripture, and I think I've got the scripture down here a little bit later on. There's a guy by the name of Bezalel. He's the worker that has been, he's the one that has the skill to make these things. So in verse number 24 of Exodus 40, and he set, and he put the candlestick in the tent of the congregation over against the table. The table's on the other side, on the side of the tabernacle southward. And he lighted the lamps before the Lord as the Lord commanded Moses. The next book is Leviticus. Turn in Leviticus to chapter number 24. Leviticus chapter number 24. There's other scriptures, but I picked out these. Leviticus chapter 24, look at verse number 2. Leviticus 24, verse number 2. Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually. Without the veil of the testimony in the tabernacle of the congregation shall Aaron order it from evening unto the morning before the Lord continually. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. He shall order the lamps upon the pure candlestick before the Lord continually. They're supposed to burn all the time. All right, back over here to Exodus chapter number 25 and verse number 31. Now, for those of you who maybe some of us have forgotten, but what's going on here, just a short review. Moses is on the on Mount Sinai receiving instruction from God. And as I said, these things have not been made yet, but he's giving Moses instructions on what to do. The thing is, on these things that we're talking about here, God says this: if you want to draw near to me, then here's what you have to do. And he tells them how to do all these kinds of things. There may be a little bit strange to us, some of them, but God tells people how to behave and what to do in order to draw near to him. All of us people, Christians and all of us, we can live our life, we can live any way that we want to. You know, I tell people, you know, you can live your life any way you want to, but you only get one shot at it. You only get one time. You only get one go around. You don't get to go back and do it over, you see. It'd be nice if you did, you know, because about the time we get to where we learn what we're supposed to do, then we're getting old, you know, and we're going to die. It's kind of like raising kids. About the time you learn how to raise kids, well, you're too old, you know, they're already gone and everything. Look, you can live your life any way you want to, but you only get one chance. You only get one opportunity at it. God tells us that we can live our life, you know, you have the opportunity to live your life the way you want to, but if you want to draw near to God, if you want to walk with God and draw near to God, then you have to follow God's instructions. You have to obey him, do what he wants to, do what he tells us to obey him. If we want to have more than just physical life, more than just physical life, what I mean by that, just eating, drinking, breathing, working, sleeping, and things like that, then you're going to have to do some things. You know, being a Christian is not like, you know, the easiest thing in the world. If you're going to follow God, Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and come and follow me. See, following Jesus Christ is like being a soldier. It's like being a soldier. When you're a soldier in the army, you're a soldier in the military or something like that, there's things that you have to do. I remember when I was in the army, you know, we'd get up for what they called reveille. I can't remember how early it was, but, you know, 4 o'clock maybe, 5 o'clock or something like that. You know, the alarm sounds or something like that, and you got to get up. You know, you don't get for the first sergeant to come in and shake you by the shoulder, you know, and say, you know, come on, get up. We're going to have reveille here in a few minutes. They don't do that. You know, if you don't get up, man, you're going to get kicked out of the bed. You're going to get kicked out of the bed. That's how it works. If you don't go to the mess hall when it comes time to eat, then you're going to miss out. You're going to miss out on supper. You see, being a soldier for the Lord, you see, most Christians are really soft. They're really soft. See, they're just any little hard place in the road, you know, just throw them off and they'll throw up their hands and quit, you see. That's just the way it is. Why? I don't know. I guess it's our society, the way they've been raised or something. But following Jesus Christ, man, that's called being a soldier. Being a soldier for the Lord. There's things you got to do. It takes work. And if you want to have more in your life than just physical life, more than just eating, drinking, breathing, working, sleeping, and things like that, there's some things you got to do. You got to follow Jesus Christ. You got a Bible. You know, we got a church. You know, there's prayer, all that kind of stuff. I'll get ahead of myself here in a minute. But see, there's more to life than those kind of things. You see people running around on Sunday. You know, and Sunday's just another day to them, you know, just every day is the same, just working, all that kind of stuff. You know, there's nothing special about it. Sunday ought to be a special day. You give it to God. Give God a little bit of time. Give God some time, you see. There ought to be more than life. You see, one of these days, life is short. Life is short, and my wife started getting the paper again, and I read the obituary there. In the paper, obituaries where people have died, you'll find them from 3 or 4 years old children, young people, and a lot of times people are a lot younger than me that have died, that have passed away. See, now I don't feel like I'm old, but I guess I am. And there's a lot of folks in that paper that's a lot younger than me. You know, they've died. See, life is short. Life is short. One of these days we're going to go meet the God who made us. And I want to know that God. Yes, sir. I want to know that, that God. I want to know. I want to be pleasing to Him. I know I'm not saved. You're not saved by being pleasing to God. You're not saved by working and, you know, being pleased. You're saved by believing on a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. You're saved by accepting a person, the gospel, how that Christ died for you on the cross. He's buried and that He was raised from the dead. You're saved by believing that He died for you, that He did that for you. It's free. It's free. Salvation is free forever, for sure. But then after you get saved, God wants you to work. God's got some things for us to do. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. What? Walk in those good works. God has things for us to do. I know I'm preaching to the choir because you folks are the ones that do the work, you see. The Wednesday night crowd. You put forth some effort to come to the house of God and to be here. But I want to know that God. I want to know what He said. I want to know what He said. I want to know some things about that God because I'm going to have to go and meet that God. One of these days I'm going to close my eyes in death, or something better than that is Jesus is going to come in the air. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. And He's going to come one of these days, or we're going to die, one or the other. We're going to meet that God who made us. And I want to know something about that God. I don't want to be ashamed before Him whenever we see Him and whenever I see Him. I hope you do too. I'm sure you do. But I want to know that God. I want to please Him because life is short. This life be a preparation for the next life. I want to know something about what He said, what He has required of me, because we're going to spend all eternity there. We're going to spend all eternity. You know, you think about eternity. Eternity. I can't fathom eternity because it has no end. This life has an end. How long is your life going to be? 70, 80, 90 years? If you're really blessed, 70, 90 years. I don't want to say 70 too much, see, because I'm done past that. 80, see, that's coming up next. That's coming up next, see. Comes real fast, man. The older you get, the faster they go. Zip, 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 bat. You know, just last year it was 2019. Now here we are. Well, this is the 8th of January already. 8 days are already passed. You can't slow it down. It just keeps on going. See? Amen. We're going to see that God who made us. We're going to see that Jesus who died for us on the cross. I had a dream one time about Jesus. I thought I felt His arm right there. Just put His arm around me. He's going to take me on, you see. And I woke up. I woke up. I want to know that Jesus. I want to know Him. And what He said, what He has required of me. In our text here, God is giving Moses some instructions how to obtain mercy. How to obtain mercy. We talked about the mercy seat. They put blood on the mercy seat and they obtained mercy from that blood. It was animal blood. See, back here it's animal blood. God said, you put some animal blood down there and I'll forgive you until the better blood comes. The better blood's going to come. Let me see here. My Bible says 1491 B.C. And 1491 B.C. plus 30 years, 33 years, there'll be some more blood shed on a cross. And that'll be the best blood. That'll wash away your sins instead of just covering them over. This animal blood, see, it just covers them. It'll do until Jesus Christ comes, you see. he's showing him how that they can obtain mercy, have their sins forgiven, and God, what God will do for them. See, in the Holy of Holies, we talked about they had that's the small room back there. There was an ark there made of wood overlaid with gold. That's number one. Then on top of that was a mercy seat of gold where blood was placed and they obtained mercy. Then number three, in the next room between after the curtain there, the next room on the right side, be the north side, there was a table of wood overlaid with gold. And on top of it, it had 12 loaves of bread for the priest to eat. That's what we talked about last week. And they are put out weekly, the bread. They put 12 loaves of bread out there, 12 loaves of bread, and those loaves of bread represented the Word of God. We talked about that last week. The fourth thing that's in the tabernacle is this. It's a candlestick. It's a candlestick. The candlestick is, I don't know exactly how tall it is. It doesn't say. But I would guess that candlestick is like 3 to 4 feet tall, like this. And it had a little platform down here on the bottom. It had a little platform to sit on down on the bottom. Then it had a shaft going up the middle. And then out of that shaft, it has three on each side. It has six candlesticks coming out, three on each side, and then one in the middle. That's seven. Has a candlestick like that. And it has some little bowls up there. I think they're in the shape of an almond. And they hold olive oil and a little wick in it, and they light that. And that's where they get their light. It's made of gold. By the way, Israel today has a national emblem, and I believe that emblem is that picture. They call it a menorah. That's not in the Bible, but that's what they call it, a candlestick. That's their national emblem. It was established as their national emblem on February the 10th, 1949. The Israeli, I guess emblem is the right way to call it, or symbol for Israel. It's made of 1 talent of gold, and there is some confusion on how much a talent is. I've read everything from 73 pounds to 120 pounds is a talent of gold. So I'll just settle on 100 pounds just for figuring. 100 pounds. And that would make it very expensive, especially in today's gold prices, nearly $2 million. That's what it would be made of. Bible says here in verse number 31, it says, "And thou shalt make a candlestick of pure gold, of beaten work shall the candlestick be made." Beaten work. It's a craft. That beaten work there, it's a craft that is called gold beating, where gold is beaten into the shape that you need or the shape that is desired. That's what it means there when it's called beaten. They mold it by hammering it or beating it. That guy by the name of Bezalel, chapter 31 and verse number 4, made that. He works in gold, chapter 31, and read that for you. Exodus 31 and verse number 1, "The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship to devise cunning works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass." And he goes on there. He knows how to work in gold. And so they make these things. The Bible says that God filled him with the Spirit in order for him to do that. So they beat the gold. They take one piece and they make it into, they fashion it into the way that they, the thing that they need there. I'm going to tell you some things about the candlestick. Number one, the measurements of the candlestick. If you look in verse number 31, it says, "And thou shalt make a candlestick of pure gold, of beaten work shall the candlestick be made, his shaft and his branches, his bowls, his knops, his flowers shall be of the same." And you can read all the way down through there. There is no measurements for the candlestick. The tabernacle has measurements. They measured that. Tells you how long it is. The ark has measurements. The table of showbread has measurements. The altar has measurements. But here, there are no measurements. Why? Well, because this candlestick represents something that you cannot measure. The candlestick represents the Spirit of God, and you cannot measure the Spirit of God. It represents the Spirit of God, which cannot be measured. He is not measurable because He is God. He is infinite. Whatever we, wherever we go, the Spirit of God has already been there. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Psalms. Book of Psalms, chapter 139. I think somebody read this here the other day for us in preaching. Psalm 139 and verse number 7. Verse number 7 to 12. Psalm 139 and verse number 7 says, "Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike unto thee." So the candlestick represents the Spirit of God, and He is infinite. The Spirit of God can go throughout the universe. He can fill the universe with His presence. He cannot be measured. Measured, there's a scripture that uses that word over here in John chapter number 3, and talking about Jesus Christ. John chapter number 3, and I believe it's verse number 34. John chapter 3 and verse number 34. Here's what the Bible says. It says, "And for he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God," talking about Jesus, "for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him." In other words, Jesus Christ had no limit upon him as to the amount of the Spirit of God that he had. The Spirit of God cannot be measured. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 2, it says, "And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." The Spirit of God is without beginning and without end. In that scripture there where it says the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, it did not take God 6 billion years to get things created through evolution. God did it in 6 days of 24 hours each. Amen. I was talking to a fellow one time. He goes to church right down the street here. Goes to church there down the street there, and they were laughing at people who believed the Bible literally when it came to creation. At church right down the street here. They're laughing at people that believed in the Genesis account of creation. I believe all of it. I believe Genesis chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. I believe it literally. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and He was active in creation. God created the heavens and the earth, all that in 6 days of 24 hours each. So there are no measurements for the candlestick here. The second thing I want you to notice is that the candlestick is made of pure gold. That's the material. First is the measurements, and then the material is made of gold. The other pieces had wood overlaid with gold. You talk about the box, the ark there, the table and all that. They have wood underneath and gold on the outside, showing that representing humanity and deity. But in this, in the candlestick, there's no wood, just gold. Why? Because it's the Spirit of God. He is not flesh. Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. But the Holy Spirit of God is not flesh. There is no flesh in Him. No wood in it. No wood in it. It's just gold. The Spirit of God is not flesh. He does not touch flesh. He does not touch flesh. Let me tell you some things about what happened whenever you get saved. Whenever you got saved, the Spirit of God is joined to your spirit. The Spirit of God is joined to your spirit. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse number 17, "He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit." He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. And the Spirit of God dwells in your spirit. And your spirit is on the inside of your soul. It's on the inside of your soul. But your soul, listen carefully, your soul has been cut loose from your body and does not touch your flesh. Whenever you get saved, the Spirit of God does a laser operation and He cuts your soul loose from your flesh. And the Spirit of God dwells on the inside of your soul and He is joined to your spirit. That's why it says, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. You say, why does not the Spirit of God touch your flesh? Because your flesh is sinful. Your flesh is sinful. Whenever you got saved, nothing happened to your body. You've got the same old body that you had whenever you got saved. You're going to have the same old body until Jesus comes or until you die, one or the other. Same body, see? And these people that teach, that you're going to be healed from all diseases or something like that. Look, Jesus Christ did die for all of your diseases. He died for all of that, but you don't get all the benefits yet. You don't get all the benefits today, you see. Now, if God heals you, that's wonderful. We believe in healing and all that, but it's not because of the gift of healing. Nobody's healed nowadays because some preacher has the gift of healing. They don't have the gift of healing. They don't have that. If anybody gets healed, it's because of prayer and faith. You pray about it and you have faith and God will heal you, you see. Or it might be better if you eat properly and you stay healthy. See, that'll work too. That'll work too. You know, quit eating too many ulcers burritos or Twinkies or drinking Dr. Peppers, you see, all that kind of stuff. And, bologna. Quit eating too much of that stuff, you see, and you stay healthy and God might be merciful to you anyway. He might be merciful to you anyway. But you only got one body, you ought to take care of it. You know, you only got one body to live in, and you want it to last as long as you can. Because if you don't have your body to get around in and stay healthy, then you can't serve God. So you won't be able to do that. You won't be able to help somebody else. You won't be able to teach your class. You won't be able to help your husband. You won't be able to help your wife, see. So you might ought to, do some things to stay as healthy as possible and make your body last as long as possible, see. Now, I have a hard time hearing. The reason I have a hard time hearing is because when I've done all kinds, it's a miracle that I can hear as well as I can. Because I have not taken care of my hearing all of my life, you see. You'd be surprised at all the stupid things I've done with my hearing. So now my ears ring all the time. My ears are ringing right now. See, just like roaring, like a herd of what's them grasshopper things? Locusts. I've got a herd of locusts in my head right now. See, now if I'm talking and things like that, then it doesn't bother me as bad. But if I sit down and it's quiet, well, what is that? You know, it's roaring. I'm just saying, take care of yourself. Take care of yourself. Do some very simple things. You know, you can do simple things like quit drinking Dr. Peppers, and that'll help a bunch, man. You know, instead of drinking two or three Dr. Peppers a day, can you imagine that? Some people drink two or three Dr. Peppers a day. Am I hitting on anybody's toes? Am I stepping on anybody's toes? I don't know it if I am, so just don't tell me. Now, don't tell me. Don't drink one Dr. Pepper a week, or maybe two at the most, and you'll be a lot better off, see. Not one a day. That's too many. Them things are loaded with sugar, see. Now, you're not going to notice it whenever you're young. But I'll guarantee you, when you hit the big 5-0, you will definitely notice it. And then when you get over 60, then you'll really, really, you see. Just do some simple things. It'll really make a big difference. Amen. Get off of that stuff, man. Get on something else. Where was I? Candlestick of pure gold. Why? It's just gold because it's the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God, I talked to you about the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God does not touch your flesh because it is sinful. I'll tell you one last thing. This is good. The candlestick inside the tabernacle, the holy place, is the only source of light in there. It's the only, the priest is going to go in there. He's going to shut the curtain behind him. The world is shut out. The only source of light that he has, he's got to stop and his eyes get accustomed to the light in there. The only source of light that he has is that candlestick. There is no natural light from outside, sunlight or anything like that. When he walks in there, closes the curtain, there's no light except the candlestick on the showbread. The candlestick gives light on the showbread. The showbread's a picture of the Word of God. That's a picture of the Spirit of God giving light on the Word of God. Another way to say it is that when you read the Holy Bible, the Spirit of God helps you to understand it. He gives you light on the Holy Scriptures because the Spirit of God is the author of the Holy Bible. He's the author of it. And He will help you to understand it. There's plenty of things in there when people don't. There's some hard things in the Bible. But there's some easy things in the Bible. Start with the easy and go to the hard. You don't start with the complicated and go to the simple. No, you start with the simple and go to the complicated. Start with John 3:16. Start with Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Start with Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Start with those and then go to the hard things, you see. The Spirit of God will help us to understand the Bible, you see. So when the priest went in there, the only thing that he saw was the candlestick over here. And then he saw, I think it's on the south side, be on the left side over here. And it's putting light on the showbread, putting light on the Word of God, you see. And the outside world is blocked out. There's an altar of incense up there representing prayer, and those things are in there. When he goes into that room there and he sees a candlestick representing the Holy Spirit, listen to me. He sees bread over here representing the Word of God, and he sees an altar of incense up there, and he's in there with that, and the world is shut out. Let me tell you something, folks. Those right there are the basic things that anybody needs to live a Christian life. There's a lot of other things you can have, but the basic things are the Bible, the Word of God, prayer, and the influence, the presence of the Spirit of God. You know what you don't have to have? You don't have to have an iPhone. You don't have to have a computer. You don't even have to have a car. It's nice if you got one. You don't have to have a TV. You don't have to have any of those things. But brother, I tell you what, you've got to have a Bible. And you got to have the right Bible. And you got to pray. And you got to seek God's face. You must have those things. But you can get rid of, you can do without a lot of other things. You don't even have to have a bed. If you're going home tonight and sleep in a nice bed, then you're blessed. There's a lot of people in the world that don't have that. But in order to live a Christian life, you don't have to have those things, but you've got to have a Bible. You've got to have the Spirit of God on the inside of you, giving light on the Scriptures. You've got to have all that stuff. But a lot of other things we can do without them. If you got those things, you're just blessed. You got it okay. But you don't have to have those things, you see. But you've got to have the basics. The basics. Isn't that simple? To live a Christian life, you don't have to have a whole bunch of stuff. Just a few simple things. I call them simple weapons. without the Spirit of God giving light on the Scriptures, we are in darkness. Without preaching, we are in darkness. Without teaching, we're in darkness. We don't know what to do without a Bible. Long time ago, back over there before Abraham, around the time of Abraham, you say Enoch. Let's start with Adam and Seth and Enoch and Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, on down there. Then, listen, God spoke to people through dreams and visions and appearances. That's how He spoke to people. If He wanted to talk to somebody, He'd come and sit down and talk to them. He'd appear to them and come sit down and talk to them. Then later on, He spoke to people by prophets. Spoke to people by prophets like Elijah. Spoke to people by prophets like Elisha. Spoke to people through prophets by like Micaiah. He's a good prophet. I like him. Isaiah and other prophets, He spoke to people by those things. But then whenever His Son came, I want to show you a scripture. We're probably finished there in Exodus. So if you want to turn in your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 3. I've got to quit. Matthew 3 and verse number 17. Matthew 3 and verse number 17. I'll show you this and I've got to quit. Matthew 3 and verse number 17. This is where Jesus was baptized. It says, "And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Go from there, go over to chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. And Matthew chapter 17, here's on the Mount of Transfiguration. Look at this. I'll not read it all, but verse number 5. "While He yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. Behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him." Hear ye Him. First it was visions and dreams. Second it was prophets. Now then it's the Son of God. God said, "Hear Him." And now I want to show you one other verse. Go over to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, look at verse number 16. We'll start there. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For He received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory." Now, we just read about that in Matthew 17, verse number 5. "There came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory, This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased," or the baptism. And verse number 18, "And this voice which came from heaven we heard." All right, and he's talking about a voice from heaven. "When we were with Him in the holy mount," notice verse 19, "we have also a more sure word of prophecy." Now, do you stop there and just think about that? He says right here, he's talking about the Bible, the Word of God. It's a more sure word than a voice from heaven. And it's called a word of prophecy there. He tells the future. Nowadays, how does God speak? He speaks through the Bible. If people quit listening to the Bible, they don't hear what God has said. You don't get it. God, Jesus Christ, is not out here walking around on the earth preaching. God the Father is not shouting orders from heaven. He gave us a book, and we are supposed to listen to the book. That's how we are to order our lives, is from the Holy Bible. God's not shouting orders from heaven. Jesus is not preaching on the mount somewhere. He's already gone back to heaven. We are to listen to the Bible, and the Spirit of God is to help us understand the Bible. Gives us light on the Scriptures. Amen. Thank you. We're finished.